Me to Revelation chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 1 through 8 tonight. And let me review in case we have forgotten where we're at. Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, you see the vision of the glorified Christ that John the Apostle saw on the Isle of Patmos. And then he didn't die on the Isle of Patmos. He was released back to Ephesus. He died an old man, just like Jesus said he would in John 21. And then you see in verses 2 and chapters 2 and 3, the church age, seven church ages, which is contemporary of churches today, also historical churches, and also prophetic churches. And we went through the seven church ages, and we're in the last church age right now, waiting on the rapture of the church. Revelation 4 and 5, we saw the church around the throne of God. We saw worship in heaven. And then after that, the Bible says in Revelation 6, we had the seven seals. Well, really, we have six seals. And we're going to pick up on that seventh seal in Revelation chapter 8. But in between, the Holy Spirit gives John a respite from all the terrible things that he's been showing him. And so you see an interlude here, a suspension of the judgment, if we could say that. Everything's on pause because God's going to give John a little encouragement by showing him what's going on with the 144,000 Jews and also the multitude that will come to Christ because of their witness during the tribulation period. And so that's what we're at. We're dealing with, in Revelation 7, we're dealing with two groups of people. 144,000 Jews, I take it literal, that we'll look at tonight, and also the multitudes that come to faith in Christ because of their witness. There will be people saved, multitudes and multitudes of people saved in the tribulation. But if you heard a clear presentation of the gospel in this life, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you better respond in this life. And so we're in an interlude, a parenthesis, or a you're getting the perspective here of what's going on. And the Holy Spirit's going to do that several times in the book of Revelation. He'll take us from earth and all the terrible judgments into heaven, what's going on there. Just like right now. I mean, if we could see what's going on in heaven right now, none of us would want to be here. Are y'all with me? If we could see the worship that's going on in heaven right now, the church that has gone before us, we'd think, well, I'm stupid by not wanting to go there, you know? And so we get these kind of glimpses as we go through the book of Revelation. And so we're looking at the 144,000 sealed Jews who witnessed for God in the tribulation period. And this chapter lets us know that people who will be saved in the tribulation. And that answers the question in chapter 6, verse 17. Note that. And the great day of his wrath has come. Who shall be able to stand? Well, the 144,000 will. And they'll be sealed in that time. And all the multitudes will be as well. So let's read verses 1 through 7 tonight. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Now, this is a negative wind, okay? This is judgment, okay? Holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel. That word means one just like these four angels. This is not a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. This is another angel of the same kind, ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels. Now he had this seal of the living God for a purpose, because they're going to seal the 144,000 Jews. And the voice of the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. See, so this is why we know these are negative winds and that they were holding back. Saying in verse 3, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. So this is a visible seal in their foreheads. And by the way, it says hurt not till. You know, angels do. They bring the winds, they bring the weather currents, they bring this, they bring that, they bring judgment. God uses them in a variety of ways. And he says, don't destroy the earth till I seal the servants of God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, I always like Manasseh because that's a southern Virginian term, right? And of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. And of the tribe of Issachar, yeah, I had it right, but I kind of quit. Barbara asked me how I was doing tonight, and I said, y'all seen this commercial, right? I said, I'm having a stroke, but I wasn't really, okay? I shouldn't make fun of that, right? But anyway, where were we at? Okay, let's get back where we're at. The tribe of Zebulun were 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were 12,000, and of the tribe of Benjamin were 12,000. So these are the ones that were sealed. Hurt not this planet till I seal. And then five angels were doing the sealing right here. Now, first of all, I want you to note the suspension of the judgment in verses 1 through 3. We see the instruments of the judgments, which were the angels. And angels play a major role in the tribulation, executing God's judgments on the earth. Take a gander at chapter 8, verse 2. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the throne, and to them was given seven trumpets. And each of these angels institute the different judgments when it comes to. And remember, in case you don't know, the reason why we're having this tribulation period is not for the church. It's for Christ rejecting Israel, and it's for purge the earth, getting it ready for the millennial kingdom, and on all Christ rejectors. And so they were halting their judgment in due time so that the 12,000 from each tribe could be sealed. In fact, I believe they do the same thing today. They are given power over nature. I mean, a hurricane is just not whipped up by accident. There's somebody behind it, right? And it's for a purpose. But the world is not listening. And so they were holding back, and verse 1 means that the winds are struggling to break free from their restraint. In the four corners of the four directions of a compass, they control the winds, the fire, and the waters. And then John sees, as it was in verses 1 and 2, a fifth angel coming out of the east to seal the servants of God in their foreheads. Two thoughts here. Another angel in verse 2 is one of the same kind, lets us know it's not Jesus. And then another means one of the same kind in the pronoun we. I want you to notice something there in verse 2 and 3. And I saw, and behold, another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we. So this fifth angel puts himself with the other four angels. So it's not Christ, it's just a mighty angel that has been sent to do judgment here. So this angel is facing the east. John is looking to the east, where he could see from where he was at, he could see Israel and where the Messiah would come from and came from in the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's why we bury our dead as Christians, the headstones facing the east, because we believe that Christ is going to return from the east in the sky. Now, Jews do it the other way because they don't believe in the Messiah. And so some people may not know, you know. That's why at a funeral, I don't know if you ever notice it, that's why pastors stand at the headstone at the east side. Again, adding to the hope of the resurrection. So there's an instruction of the suspension in verses 2 and 3. The fifth angel appears to be stronger than the other four, but Scripture tells us that there are different ranks and different orders of both good and evil angels. And this fifth angel tells them to suspend judgment temporarily. So evidently, you know, these are mighty angels, and he's one of them, but he is the one who directs them to hold off judgment until they can seal the 144,000. Note verse 3, the intent of the suspension. And he says, and when he had opened, and I keep wanting to go back to chapter 6. and saying, hurt not the earth, neither sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our foreheads. Let me ask you a question. Are you sealed today? Yes, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And Satan has a false seal, right? The mark of the Antichrist, right? But we have the seal of God today. We're not the 144,000. This is not the church. Church is raptured back in chapter 4. So this is not the church, as some try to submit it being. It's not the church. Our seal is that of the Holy Spirit. And so we have here the intent. This suspension is for the purpose that a certain group of people would be sealed. And they are described in verses 4 through 8. And we're going to look at them a little closer here. They are Jews from the 12 tribes of Israel. 12,000 from each tribe that do a particular service for God. They are the first fruits of Israel, chosen for God's elective purpose in preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I've come to believe that the gospel of grace and the gospel of the kingdom is the same thing. But the emphasis is on the kingdom because they're closer to the coming of the kingdom right here. And so, just as the Antichrist will have a seal, we will be sealed as well. This speaks of our ownership, security, and authority. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. But also for these men, it speaks of ownership. It speaks of authority. It speaks of security. They're going to be protected until God is through with them. Okay? And then God's going to take them home. We'll see that in just a moment, okay? And you might want to be thinking about Revelation 14, 1 through 5. We'll go there in a minute. Now we see the sealing of the Jews in verses 4 through 8. Now look at it again here. And it goes on in verses 4 through 8 and tells 12,000 from each of the tribe of the nation of Israel. Again, some interpret this to be symbolic of the church sealed from trials and hardships. I know this is one of the errors of Left Behind. They think this seal here is talking about the church, that church is taken out. And they say, well, people who are saved during the tribulation are sealed. But the only ones sealed are the 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. Just read what the text says, right? And that's what it says. Others believe the events of Revelation were fulfilled in the first century. They're preterists, what we call them. They believe that as you look at the book of Revelation, it was all fulfilled in the early church. And that's hogwash again. I won't do that little sound I made this morning because I ain't got no pucker tonight. So, but we're out of that. Still others believe they are the Jehovah Witnesses. And we've heard that, right? Jehovah Witnesses. Some of us have family members who are in it. And they're good people. They're just sincerely wrong. And the very hell that they deny existing is where they're going to unless they repent and believe in Jesus. Still others believe that the trouble is with these Jehovah Witnesses or Jehovah's false witnesses, Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe that Jesus is who he said he is. See, they're witnessing for Jehovah. And their salvation is not repentance of sin and faith in Christ and going to heaven, and their salvation that they preach is being saved from Armageddon. Okay, and this doesn't make no sense because they're preaching the wrong end of this thing. You know, so these are descendants of Jacob. Now, let's talk a little bit about Jehovah Witnesses. This would be a good time to let you know some thoughts. Number one, if they are for today, they would have to be a Jew. They would have to be from one of the 12 tribes. I always love to ask them when they come by the house, I say, what tribe are you? Where's your tribe? Is it Benjamin? Is it Levi? Is it Manasseh? I like Manasseh again because that battle in the Confederate Manasseh, you know. And, you know, they say, well, the American Indians descended from the 10 lost tribes of Israel. No, they did not. Right? So it's 12,000 from each tribe. Right? Y'all see that? It's very plain there. Okay? Plus, it's wrong dispensation. They think that they're part of the 144,000 for today, the elect of God, who, how is God going to elect some people to be saved from Armageddon when first thing he elected them to come to faith in Christ, right? And so it just doesn't make no sense. And this text right here lets me know that God is not through with Israel. What we have right here with these 144,000 is the doctrine of the preservation of Israel. God has preserved his people, the national Israel, who will go into a land, right, Brother John? And he has preserved that. Where they go off wrong is, where all the cults go off wrong is, they deny Jesus, okay? They deny the deity of Christ. So that's why they're not witnesses of Christ, they're witnesses of Jehovah. But if you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, right? And so they're following the man that founded this Jehovah Witnesses. His last name was Russell. They called themselves Russellites, or Russellism. He pretty well got put out by all the religions of the world, and he said, I was going to start his own. So he started his own. And they denied the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved if you deny the Holy Trinity. They denied the deity of Christ. They denied the Holy Spirit as we know him. They denied the atonement of Christ on the cross. And that's the only way we can be saved. Now, we're going to be saved from Armageddon because he's taken us out before Armageddon. And they deny eternal hell, a literal hell. And it burns me because the same hell they deny is the same hell they're headed to. And they believe, kind of like Catholics believe, the doctrine of the second chance, that you can go somewhere and earn your way and do better. Like Catholics believe in purgatory. When you die, it's possible that you can somehow or another, I don't know how that's possible, it's not even in the scriptures. They get it from one of the Apocrypha books, Second Maccabees, which is not even in the Holy Canon, and that you're going to earn your way back and get to heaven. So they believe in the doctrine of second chance. I want to tell you, upon authority of God's word here tonight, listen to me. Right here in this church age, the only chance you got is to come to Christ in this life, okay? Now, if you're left behind and you haven't heard a clear presentation of the gospel, you may have a chance. But I don't think nobody sitting in this church tonight can say that they haven't heard a clear presentation in this church over the years, right? And it's not going to happen. They believe that the actual second coming happened in 1874. Man, I wasn't even born then. I missed it, you know? And in 1874, so they're way off. They're off on a lot of things. But they followed a man named Russell, okay? And again, we have the only divine founder. That's why Christianity is different. He rose from the grave. He lived a perfect life. I'm sure Russell didn't. And he was the only one qualified to be our Lord and Savior. Our Savior came from heaven. Russell didn't come from heaven, right? And so they're being deceived by not understanding the depth of the depravity of this man's teaching. And they will, even if they fall for it, hook, line, and sinker, they will be responsible one day. So some say the 144,000 will be saved, but only 144,000 are sealed. And again, what do you do with a Jehovah's Witness and say, well, if you're one of the Jehovah's Witnesses and God said he has sealed 144,000 of them, what if you're 144,001? You know, they make up some kind of new doctrine about they're going to be a Jonadab and a whoever, and they're going to be in a lower planet one day or something like that. But we take it, the 144,000, to be a literal interpretation in the list of these Jews here. Now, let's go over to Revelation chapter 14. We're moving from them being sealed here on earth to a glimpse of them in heaven. Revelation 14, 1-5. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount of Zion, and with him 144,000 having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Having their father's name written in their foreheads. So if you're one of the 144,000, we should be able to see the father's name written in your forehead. Ain't that what it says? Okay. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping in their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne. Say, this is a scene in heaven before the throne. God, they're through, and God has took them home. And before the four beasts and the elders, no man could learn that song but the 144,000. Now, I don't know. I've never been in a Jehovah's Witness church, and I don't look at their hymnal, but they're not singing the song they're just going to be singing here, are they? And we're redeemed from the earth. Redeemed from the earth. And these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. That'll knock a lot of them out in the head, right? And these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in the mouth was found no guile, for they without fault before the throne of God. That's them in heaven. It's not the Jehovah Witnesses. Now, tribal records, if I understand it correctly, as I studied about the 12 tribes of Israel, tribe records were lost when Jerusalem was invaded by Rome in AD 70. But God hasn't lost the tribal records. He knows exactly who's a Jew, and he knows exactly what tribe they're from. And he knows exactly, this is a promise of the future fulfillment to Israel of the restoration of the national Israel. God knows who their Jews are. I don't have to send money into Joel Hege to help buy plane tickets to take the Jews back to Israel. God's going to do that miraculously, right? Before the end of the tribulation period. Besides, if I did that, they'd be done sending a Jew back over there who wasn't supposed to go, you know? So I just go along with that. The 10 lost tribes, you've heard a lot about that, the 10 lost tribes, they were never lost, but they intermingled with the 2 southern tribes and were preserved. God has preserved his people, getting ready to move them back to Israel. Now, it's interesting about this list here that we see in verses 4 through 8. There are at least 19 ways of listing these tribes in the Old Testament. So there's no standard list. Some add this one, some leave out that one. Some things are unique to the list that may not be so unique to the other list. The list we have before us is the list we got right now. Now, what do we learn from these witnesses? Well, number one, God is not through with the nation of Israel. I've always wondered, Brother John, what does all millennials who believe in replacement theology, who believe that the church is the new Israel, what do they believe in Revelation 7, 4 through 8? Who are these people if it's not Israel, right? And the coming of the Messiah, the Jews failed to do what they were supposed to do in the Old Testament, is to receive the Messiah and then take the gospel to the whole world, but now they're doing that, see? They're going to be more faithful than the church is in doing that. They're not the church, but they're a distinct group on their own right. And at number 3, we see God's sovereignty in choosing the Jews and the Gentiles in the tribulation period. There are elect people in the tribulation period, just like there are elect people here in the church age. And then number 3, God is never without a witness. We often fumble our hands around and say, oh man, the church ain't going to have no witness, man. The church is dying. Listen to your pastor closely. The church is not dying. The false church is being revealed, okay? Did y'all hear that? The church is not dying. We're just finding out who's real and who's not. Why? Because Christ said, I will build my church. You know, so don't worry about the church, right? The church is going to heaven. And so God is never without a witness. Even in tribulation, he has these Jews here, 144,000. He has their converts that we're going to look at next Sunday night, multitude in 7 through 19. And he has later on the 2 witnesses you know, that we're going to read about in Revelation 11, I believe it is. I can't remember. And then he's going to have angels, and right, getting close, right at the time of his return, he's going to have angels going through the skies with banners proclaiming the kingdom, right? So I guess banners are biblical, right? But my question I want to leave with you tonight is this. If this is God's plan, what are we doing as a church right now? What are we doing in the church age right now? Are we faithful to, are we carrying the baton to the next set of witnesses who are going to proclaim the gospel? Are we faithful in that? I'm afraid if we were in the 880, I don't know what the races are nowadays. Keaton, you might be able to help me. The mile, the 880, we used to call it 880. You had four men handing off the baton to the next one. And are we handing off the baton? Is the church doing her part in being a witness for Jesus Christ? It don't take much, folks. Just look for an opportunity to get in a gospel conversation. You may have to inject yourselves. I do that a lot. I engage when the Holy Spirit tells me to engage. And I at least get a little tidbit before they walk away about the saving message of Jesus Christ, right? We're not going to share the gospel if we don't engage a culture, right? So we need to engage. Father, tonight, thank you for this, the meaning and the application of these 144,000 witnesses. Help us be better prepared to witness to a Jehovah Witness. They're so ingrained, they're so indoctrinated. Many of them are beyond help. But Father, our job is to tell them the truth. And I know they rejected it, and I know they reject it because they're taught to reject it. By rejecting our witness to them, they're gaining more points in heaven, what they assume to be heaven. So, Father, I pray for them today, for the blindness that they're in. They're bound by Satan. They're held captive. I pray, Father, that the light of the gospel might shine forth in the hearts of our people who are family members who are in this cult. And I pray that the light of the gospel might shed the truth of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Oh, there's going to be a day of reckoning. Parents and grandparents who've led their grandchildren and children down the path of this cult are going to pay a big price. So, Father, today we just pray for them as well. We pray for us, secondly, that we'll be a gospel witness. That if these others can be faithful in the program of God down the road, we need to be faithful right now. And we need to engage a dark culture without Christ and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whatever it is, Father, what we need to do tonight, the altar's open. And we have your will and way in this service, and we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.